The subsequent London screening, the references to the Disneyland ride passed without any audience recognition. Eisner was worried about the expense, Depp's portrayal, the length, but most of all, the title. He disliked Pirates of the Caribbean and was afraid associations with the theme park ride would hurt the movie with the key teenage demographic, who would assume the movie was for children. He also wanted something that would lend itself to sequels if the film was a hit, like Raiders of the Lost Ark. Finally, he agreed to settle for a subtitle, The Curse of the Black Pearl. This brought howls of protest from just about everyone, including Taylor and other Disney executives. The Black Pearl was the name of the ship commanded by Barbossa, and thus figured in the plot. But the ship had nothing to do with the pirate's curse. Verbinski thought it was nonsense. Eisner refused to back down. The Curse of the Black Pearl remained the subtitle, although on most posters and trailers, the words were so small as to be barely visible. Pirates of the Caribbean opened on July 9th, a Wednesday rather than the usual Friday, and after the critical July 4th period. Conventional wisdom was that a summer blockbuster had to be out by Memorial Day, July 4th at the latest. Reviews were mixed. Elvis Mitchell in the New York Times found it an often frenetic, colorful, and entertaining comic adventure, while critics in Chicago and Los Angeles panned it. But nearly everyone found Depp's performance to be riveting. Depp and Rush fearlessly provide performances that seem nourished by deep wells of nuttiness, wrote Roger Ebert in the Sun-Times. Depp, in particular, seems to be channeling a drunken drag queen, with his eyeliner and the way he minces ashore and slurs his dialogue ever so insouciantly. Don't mistake me, this is not a criticism, but admiration for his work. It can be said that his performance is original in its very atom. There has never been a pirate, or for that matter, a human being like this in any other movie. Like Disney executives, the critics, most well past their own rebellious youths, failed to gauge how unerringly Depp's performance tapped into the irreverent instincts of movie-going teenagers. Audiences burst into applause even before the movie was over. Verbinski kept the pace so brisk that audiences didn't have time to puzzle over the convoluted plot that had worried Disney consumer products people. Pirates of the Caribbean joined The Sixth Sense as that increasingly rare phenomenon, a movie with legs. Backed by Disney's marketing muscle and across the company promotions, Pirates had a good opening weekend with minimal competition. But ticket sales kept surging. Pirates was among the top five grossing film for a record 12 weeks. Many teenage boys saw it multiple times. Eventually, Pirates grossed $305 million in the United States and $348 million internationally. And this time, Disney hadn't sold off the profits. Disney moved swiftly to capitalize on its new franchise, signing Verbinski, Depp, Rush, Bloom, and the winsome Keira Knightley to two sequels to be shot simultaneously, like the Lord of the Rings trilogy. Verbinski assured me that he and Depp will have more surprises for the audience, and for Disney. We've already grafted the pirate genre with the supernatural. I think we're fair game to go into everything from the Orient to sea monsters, he said. We have a wonderful opportunity to tie up loose ends and open the thing up.